Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We'll have Goody at the Movies today with the Oscars this weekend. It is the NBA trade deadline on the sports front. The story that caught my eye this morning was this: the Today Show was just blowing this up, as were the other morning shows. There's a new solar system that has seven Earth-sized planets that may well have life. Ooh. So I wonder if they have, teams like we have down here. You know, they have a hockey team that's trying to figure it out. Do they have a basketball team that was good at one time and wasn't? You know, they look down here on us like we're AAA versus what they have up there. I don't know.
Couldn't you say that all other planets may have life? Isn't that sort of a broad brushed statement?
By me? Or them?
No, by them.
By them. Well, sure.
Some sort of life?
Do we know? Like, if we sat here and talked about the meaning of life, first of all, people would not want to jump in on that.
No.
I don't think. Well, some might. But this is a big deal that all of a sudden, just voila, in 2017, boom, we got neighbors. We got stuff going on. So I was fascinated by that today. I'll only be fascinated by the NBA trade deadline if our hometown heroes decide to do something of substance today.
Well, Brandon Knight wants out. He's come out and say, I want out.
What a shock. Stunner. Stop the presses on that one. Here's another guy that wants out of Phoenix. There's a problem here, and that is it doesn't matter that Markieff Morris was a fool when he was here. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that Marcus Morris was a fool when he was here. They both got out, and guess what? They're both playing well in their respective cities. The players recruit players. Players will see a certain place and say, why is it they can't seem to get it right in that city? Why should I go down to Phoenix? If I've got to choose between San Antonio and Phoenix, and I'm LaMarcus Aldridge, they can put a banner up all they want. I'm not going to go there. No, it always comes down to you go get players, and you bring them in, and if you miss on a player, you can say, well, everybody's not perfect, and fans should be accepting of that. And, you know, fans' patience can only go so far. It can only go so far with this administration. And so... are they going to do anything of substance today? Brandon Knight wants out. Good for you, Brandon. Knock yourself out. You've been a real hero since you've been here. You've been great. In fact, things were so good when Isaiah Thomas was here, he wanted out. And Isaiah Thomas ended up in Boston. I don't know. He's an all-star now. But we got Brandon Knight, so we got to figure it out. We got this logjam at guards. And what do you know? Somebody's not happy and they want out. So, well, of course Eric Bledsoe is going to resign here in 2 years. Come on. Are you kidding? It's just the most dysfunctional group. And they're trying, and people apologize for them all over the place. Oh, they're this close. Oh, man, look at this player. No. Jared Dudley will retire, and he's great, was a great player, good guy to have around a team. He's past his prime. He's going to move on. This is a way for him for this year. Who knows how much longer, but he's not going to be here when they win big. Tyson Chandler is not going to be here when they win big, if they aspire to win big, if they can even figure out how to win big at some point. You just look at the makeup of this roster, and it's just not well put together. You know Devin Booker's here because you control him. You know Chris is here because he should still be in college, and he's made some great dunks, some individual plays, and there's some moments. But he's nowhere near ready. So when his deal comes to an end, even though they control him in years from now, the same with Bender. Bender's just a guy who's here that has tremendous upside. So all these moving pieces, if you go through the rest of the roster, player by player, are any of them going to be here when and if they decide they're going to get it figured out once and for all? And so Brandon Knight can say, oh, I want out, of course. And he'll go someplace, you know, ship them off to places where they won't win. You didn't think Markieff was going to win. Now Markieff's winning. Next week will be interesting. Oh, Markieff, boo. And there'll be all this negative stuff. And he doesn't care. He's going to the playoffs. They're not. If it's me, you know, if I'm Ryan McDonough, I've made some nice picks. But gosh, at some point you're dealing with an owner that just will wake up on the other side of the bed and say, well, I'm making lots of money. Why do I need to really change this? And, you know, and the people that are down there, they're nice people. They're very, there's still some people down there from the previous ownership group that are tremendous at what they do. And so I feel bad for them. I don't feel bad for the owner because he's rolling in gobs of money with a product that's just, it's just not good. And to try to explain it away that they're this close, no, they're not. Anyways, Dallas gets Nerlens Noel this morning. So the trade deadline is going on. And as the morning progresses, there'll be more deals, I would hope. It would be nice if something of substance came down from the Suns today. Something that you would look at and say, really? They just stood pat again. Like holding out for a first-round pick for P.J. Tucker. Please explain to me what that's going to do for you. If he, in fact, is not moved today, what's that going to do for you? He's out of here at the end of the year.
And you'd have to think that first-round pick is probably going to be a mid to lower first-round pick. So is that just further ammunition for a big blockbuster trade this summer?
How many times have we gone through the big blockbuster trade?
Many times.
I mean, we expect it to happen so that they could land somebody here. You know, to go land the star player and bring them here with a contract that's controllable. Right? So it's not just a year or two. Like DeMarcus Cousins could bolt out of New Orleans in a year and a half. So that may well work out for them, Eric, to go attract. Yeah, is it like David Robinson and Tim Duncan? Sure it is. Sure it is. I get that. I completely understand the Pelicans are trying to go for it right now. And then when free agency hits, they feel as though they'll be able to go out and attract some high-end talent. In the backcourt and in a wing position. I get that.
I just think it's so interesting that in the glory days of the Suns, players wanted to come to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Now players that are here, most of them want to leave Phoenix.
No, the whole thing about we have the weather out here and what a great destination and we have a shiny building and we have an ownership group that's committed to winning, and we have this. So you go right down the list. What's changed? Okay, the owner's changed.
Yep.
The building is not as shiny as it once was.
But it's
so
still,
I don't think that's a factor.
It's still fine.
It's fine.
Don't
I don't think
it.
I like, don't think that's a factor.
I don't either.
So then you go to style of play,
which is a positive.
Okay, but it's not what it once was.
Nope.
It's not 7
it never,
seconds.
It probably
or less.
Never will be.
Probably never will be. But if you want to, if you want that culture. Okay. So then you go through the inner workings of a facility. We're not down there every day. We don't know. And even people that are down there every day don't know what it's like in those meetings.
The medical staff is another plus for the Suns.
Medical staff has done fine in the past, but really, have we heard that here in the last few years?
Not recently.
Not recently.
If I'm a big-time free agent, the one thing, Brad, I'm going to ask my agent is, first question, when was the last time this team was in the playoffs? And the agent's going to be flipping back through year,
yeah.
1 year, 2 year, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Well, the last time the Suns were in the playoffs was 2010, I think. 2011? No, 2010.
But see, here on the trade deadline, and you're right, but the first question, though, don't you agree with me? The first question is going to be, how much money am I going to make?
Yep.
Okay, so the second question is, okay, so walk me through what's going on in Phoenix.
Like Tyson Chandler was smart. He probably knew the Suns weren't going to be a title contender, but guess what? He got paid a lot of money to come to Phoenix, way more than his value, way more.
If you're Jared Dudley, okay, and you're in San Diego, and the Clippers don't have room for you, and the Lakers, for whatever reason,
yep.
don't want you, what's your next best bet? You're in Phoenix. You're a 55-minute plane flight. You're a five-hour car ride if you want to go home.
And you're a beloved player.
You're beloved. And you may be – the fact that all these great former players and people don't want to be here, when I go through Steve Nash and Grant Hill in particular, those two, you weren't here yesterday. You were off. How was your story, by the way, at GCU with Marley?
Well,
you were off the show.
I was reporting. It was. It's fine. It's going to be a good story.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
It's about a local kid doing well over at Grand Canyon.
We like that.
Trying to find his footing.
I like that.
The Lopes can win 20 games if they win tonight.
Yeah.
There's a much bigger show in town down the road to the east.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Grand Canyon should beat Chicago State. But, yeah, I am also looking forward to – I'm DVRing the game tonight to see Lonzo Ball against ASU.
So, and I'm going to go to the game, but the my point on this is Dan, the, how that was handled.
Yeah, you can tie that into the Suns as well.
How that was handled, and I feel bad for these poor fans that get really mad at me because I sit here and I rail on the team, and they're like, "I thought you were the hometown sportscaster, and I thought you were, you know, at one time you did there." That doesn't matter. When things are good, you say they're good. When things are bad, you say they're bad. It's really not that hard. And you do the same thing with the Cardinals. You do the same thing with the Diamondbacks. You do the same thing with the Coyotes. We don't sit here and wave a flag. It's NBA trade deadline day. And what I'm hearing about, they're holding off trading P.J. Tucker for because they want a first-round pick. I mean, come on. Come on. And I see what the Lakers are doing in angling for Lonzo Ball already. Magic trades his best three-point shooter for a first-round pick within a couple hours after he gets the job. They're in tankapalooza mode. They've got it figured out. The worst thing the Suns can do is go win games. It's the worst thing they can do, and they don't seem to get that, so every year I go through the same rant. And every year I hear the same, well, we got this great player. Now, Alex Len's going to be terrific. Alex Len is just, again, turning into a big guy who occasionally does some nice things. But is he going to be here when the team finally breaks through, if the team finally breaks through? Go look at the Golden State Warriors for years and years and decades of incompetence. Go look at the Washington Wizards years. Go look at Philadelphia. And what do you know? Brian shows up on the job, and all of a sudden, they make some moves. They do some things that people say, T.J. McConnell. T.J. McConnell's gone. T.J. McConnell can't play in the NBA. Well, I don't know. Have you seen T.J. McConnell, what he's doing? You know, they're going to trade Okafor today, it sounds like. They already traded Nerlens Noel this morning. They traded him off to Dallas. So that team is going to make the playoffs far sooner than the team out here. Now, is the East less than the West? Sure it is. You can make that argument. But any of you who tell me, unless you get a check from the Suns, any of you that tell me that you believe that they are headed in the right direction, the right direction is going to San Diego on a bicycle right now. It's going to take a long time to get there. There's some nice things that they've done. I had Devin Booker sitting here. We had Devin Booker on our, we just shot a pilot. I had Devin Booker come down. Couldn't have been a nicer kid. Huge upside. Fans like him. Got it. You can get this thing turned around in a hurry, but until you actually do some things of substance, rather than just saying, well, we're making all this dough, I mean, we're going to stay within these parameters. We're going to keep stockpiling picks, to Eric's point. How many years have we heard this? When they make a big trade, when they make a huge deal, this should not be tolerated, but we have no other choice. And so people sit here and just hold out hope and come up with all these false trades and say, this guy's great and they're this close. And, well, you're just so negative. No, just seeing what's happening. Just tell me what's going on with the wins and losses. Tell me what's going on with the wins and losses in the last 7 years. I think you'll see my point pretty clearly. And then look at the bank ledger of what's going on with the value of the team. Really not that hard. So there has not been a deal made as of yet. Thankfully, this day is going to come to an end and we'll get the trade deadline behind us. And if they go out and they win 10 of their last, you know, if they win 10, 15 games down the stretch, those are 10 or 15 losses in reality. If they sit there and pick 6th, 7th, or 8th again, and I got to put up with this whole narrative of how we're this close. You know, until you guys go execute bringing a big-time player here, they haven't been able to do that. Then I have to sit here and just say, you guys aren't getting it done. This used to be commonplace. Go find those big players. The combine is next week. I'm going to get into that a little bit today. Jameis Winston, if you've been watching the news cycle today, said something that I mentioned to my wife, what Jameis Winston said to a group of fifth graders. And I said, this is why Charles Barkley said all along, I am not a role model. And 20 years ago, he said that. 25 years ago, he said that. And people were just outraged, and they were debating it, and they were arguing it. And, like, no, the role model is dad and mom. And if there's no dad or mom, then it's mom. If there's no role model, it's dad. It starts at home. But man, we put an athlete in front of a bunch of kids. Talk about a dumpster fire. We'll have that story on the other side. And yes, tonight is a big night in college basketball in our great state. We'll have Good Eat the Movies later as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. Feeling good about tonight over at ASU. We'll get into that here in about 10 minutes. Yeah, I feel good on a couple of fronts. I think this is an interesting time, a good time for ASU to catch UCLA, and it's a good time for USC to catch U of A, because when you have two teams ranked within the top 10, they're going to be looking ahead. So I'll get into that here in a few minutes. And I also think it's a good time to do an evaluation where Bobby Hurley has with this program. So that's coming up in about 10 minutes. Goody at the Movies, the Oscar preview that we do with Bill, that will be in about 10:45 this morning. So there's some NFL stuff today. I'm going to start out with the humorous side, and that is Tom Brady. So those of you that have been watching here and following the story of Tom Brady and the missing jersey after the Super Bowl know that it's gotten to the point where it's been valued. The jersey's been valued at $500,000. $500,000, the jersey that is missing. So somebody jacked the jersey, and that the Brady jersey has now become a sort of a social media deal too, not sort of a big way. So here is something that Eric found today. Just walk me through this. You found this on Instagram.
Yeah, so this is what Tom Brady put up on Instagram, and it looks like his kids may have helped him with this. It's a suspect board, and it's kind of hard to see, but there's like Jaws is a suspect. Lady Gaga is a suspect. Julian Edelman is a suspect. I'm guessing that dog you see up in the upper right-hand corner has to be their dog. And yeah, it's got to be good to be Tom Brady, because when you're Tom Brady, you don't sweat things like this. You just poke fun at them because you are Tom Brady. I mean, other players might be completely freaking out, and maybe inside he is freaking out, like, hey, I'd really like to get this jersey back. But socially, it's funny, the Super Bowl was, what, almost 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah.
And this Brady jersey saga continues to play out, but it's in now, it's taken, like, a humorous turn. Well, it's not so much like, okay, who has this jersey? When's it going to surface? Someone right now in their living room is holding up the jersey saying, ha-ha, look what I have. And then there's Tom Brady, who just takes to his Insta account and puts a picture up there, and now everyone is buzzing about the jersey thing for a different reason. Yeah. So.
The shark from Jaws, if we go back to that picture, shark from Jaws is in there.
The O'Doyle family from Billy Madison, O'Doyle Rules, is
Gollum.
In there. Yeah, it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
So the shark from Jaws, they had a quote there, takes things without asking.
yep.
I think that's so good. The O'Doyle family, the one that Brady chose to single out in the caption was Julian Edelman, and it said on there, sneaky little squirrel. So I like that. And Edelman is playing along with the role. He took the Goodwill Hunting quote used in the caption, and he responded. He put it up on his Instagram account. So it's kind of like the assistant coach walking off the plane with the making fun of Goodell with the the clown face.
Yep.
Like, these guys are just saying, you know what? We won.
He put the creepy Tom Brady sketch from the Deflategate on there too. And it says under the picture, like the sketch, it says creepy Tom Brady or creepy me or something as one of the suspects of who could have taken the jersey.
Okay, so that's the fun story. Then there's this story of Jameis Winston. And this story has been all over the place this morning. So
it's about time we get him back in the news cycle. It's just about that time of year when it's the week before the combine. It's a little bit slow.
Yeah, no, this is one of the slowest weeks of the year. So this is a bad time to get up in front of a bunch of kids and say something that you're just like, come on, are you kidding me? So Jameis Winston goes to a elementary school yesterday, and he gets into this meeting with these kids, these fifth graders. Tampa Bay Times is there. So here's Jameis Winston in front of these kids, and he says, I'm reading. All my young boys stand up. The ladies sit down. But all my boys stand up. We strong, right? We strong, right? We strong, right? All the boys, tell me one more time. I can do anything I put my mind to. Now, a lot of boys aren't supposed to be soft-spoken. You know what I'm saying? One day, y'all are going to have to very deep voice like this, in deep voice. One day, you'll have a very, very deep voice. But the ladies, they're supposed to be silent, polite, gentle. My men are supposed to be strong. I want y'all to tell me what the third rule of life is. I can do anything I put my mind to, scream it. So, is there a cultural divide where he grew up? Are there people that understand what he was saying in this day and age of taking a step back and saying it's cool that he went to go visit kids at a school as fifth graders? It's great that the quarterback is standing up in front of these young kids. But when you say to sit down and your voice, a lot of boys aren't supposed to be soft-spoken. You know what I'm saying? One day you're all going to have a deep voice. That's great. But the ladies, they're supposed to be silent, polite, and gentle. Now, there are people that I know that are older than me, much older than me, that would subscribe to this theory. A woman's place is in the home. A woman's place is to make sure the house runs correctly. She should not have a voice. I myself don't believe that. But that is my own personal opinion. I want my kids to be able to go do anything they want, boys or girls. There should be no looking at them differently, in my view. That's just my own humble opinion. So Jameis Winston, though, espousing his beliefs like that in front of a school group, comes back out and says, I made a poor choice in words. Yes, you did. And it should just be over at that, in my opinion. The whole idea that the starting quarterback for the football team showed up to speak to kids is now being lost, and instead he's being hammered. I don't think you should be hammered. I think that, yes, you did make a poor choice in words. It's unfortunate that you may believe that, but he may have been brought up in that culture. I don't know that.
If you are a member of the Tampa Bay Bucks media relations department, do you have a sit down with your starting quarterback about what is your message? Like, I know the Cardinals, if Carson Palmer goes out to speak to fifth graders, they don't have to worry about what the message is going to be. But if you're Jameis Winston and you have had some pretty controversial things happen to you in the past,
correct,
and you have made some public comments,
correct,
that should never, ever be made, especially by someone of his stature,
correct,
and his superstar young rising quarterback, I just wonder if they had those conversations before he spoke, or now if it's like they're all meeting in a room and saying, okay, well, he said it. How are we going to try to diffuse this? How are we going to try to put out this fire?
So I would say it goes beyond that. I would say it goes with the agent or his circle.
Okay.
Who's in his circle? If he doesn't use the word silent, are we talking about this today? Because he used silent, polite, and gentle. If he said all kids, you're supposed to be polite and gentle.
Wouldn't be a topic.
But the word silent, if we're to just parse this back, becomes something that you look at a bunch of fifth graders that you look at, and you know, I see the video. The video's up. Somebody's got it. And but he didn't come out and say that he was sorry. So he has an explanation to it. I'm going to read the explanation now. The explanation was, quote, I was making an effort to interact with a young male in the, and I was making an effort to interact with a young male in the audience who didn't seem to be paying attention, and I didn't want to single him out. So I asked all the boys to stand up, Winston said, according to the newspaper. During my talk, I used a poor word choice that may have overshadowed the positive message for some time. So he never said, I'm sorry about this. Poor word choice. That sounds as though it would be a PR person, right? Somebody, it doesn't matter if it's the Buccaneers, if they're trying to put out a brush fire that's just started as a spark and they don't want it to go into a full forest on fire. I mean, this is PR 101. Or was it his agent? Was it somebody who was there? Are we overlooking the fact that he did take the time? Did many of these kids go home to mom and dad and scream and cry and say, I can't believe Jameis Winston said that? I don't know. Were the people that were in attendance, do they have their own belief system and don't understand where he came from? I don't know where he came from. The point that you made is very accurate, Eric. When he is in a lunchroom at Florida State And he drops an F-bomb and refers to, you know, a woman's anatomy in front of everybody and thinks it's funny. And then there's the allegations against him. There's going to be a microscope that is already unfortunately against somebody. I like to think we are a forgiving society, but there are some people that will hold it over his head forever. I just don't think telling a young girl to be silent is right on any way, shape, or form. I just don't. That's me. There'll be others in this audience who would say, no, 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 no. That's a place for the woman, and he said the right thing. I don't agree with that. Just don't. So there's that. Then the combine is next week. So what do you think of Davis Webb at Cal? Did you see, you know, he was at Texas Tech. So Davis Webb's name has come up a little bit here in the last week. And obviously this is a time of year where agents want to create a buzz and a market around their guys. Kaiser, Trubisky, you know, Deshaun Watson, those guys are going to get all the pub, but there's going to be other quarterbacks that will suddenly start to get some attention. So Davis Webb's people are letting it be known he's going to actually throw and do every drill at the combine. Like, this should be big news. Well, in fact, it is, because not all quarterbacks do everything at the combine. They feel very good in their space. And when you look at the history of quarterbacks that come out later in the draft, not the ones up top, but finding and mining those mints, those gems, and you can get a quarterback in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round because you did the due diligence. Is a guy like Davis Webb, Eric, does he interest you at all? Did you see enough of him and say, eh?
I think he's okay. I think he's fine. I think he has all the talent in the world, but I just think he's okay. And I think next week, as history has shown, Brad, the combine is, more than anything with quarterbacks, the ultimate hype machine. People are going to overanalyze every single thing these quarterbacks are doing.
And we'll have a guest on about it, too, by the way.
Oh, of course.
We will.
Of course, because we love the combine
we
love the NFL draft.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, this next week is going to be the week where you're going to hear, oh, so-and-so stock is really rising because he completed 99 of 100 passes to some guy in shorts with no one pass rushing him inside of a dome in Indianapolis in the middle of the winter. And then you're going to hear, oh, well, DeShone Kizer didn't throw. There could be concerns about
his stock get hurt.
Is there a shoulder concern? Because he got hurt when he was a freshman in high school and he dislocated his shoulder. Are there whispers from doctors? I mean, it's the great unknown of the NFL draft. But yeah, next week, especially with the quarterbacks, you're going to hear things like this. And I think if Davis Webb goes out and runs a 4.25 40, everyone's going to be talking about him. Guess what? That's not going to happen. He's just not going to do that.
But I think because here in Arizona, in last year, I specifically went to the combine because of the quarterback situation. I was specifically told by Bruce and Steve that we're always on the lookout for a quarterback. So they just put it off for another year. And it may well have been they didn't like any of them last year. And it may well be they don't like any of them this year. It may well be they feel as though they can find a Carson Palmer that's on the scrap heap and you trade a seventh round pick for a bag of rocks, that there's nobody worth taking this high. But I think to me, again, this year, as last year was the case, you go through each one of these quarterbacks and you say, you know, I like what he can do. I like what type of system is he a part of. You talk to the agent. You do the deciphering of the agent between agent hyping him up, and you actually talk to the agent and say, okay, what are his weaknesses? And then you go find the talent evaluator guys, the guys that are scouts around the league, and you say, okay, what do you think about this guy? And everybody's going to lie between, you know, March 15th and March 10th and, you know, the end of April. What you got to do is just decipher between the ones that are really going to lie or the ones that just aren't going to tell you anything. So you got to go through that process. And then you put it all together and you come here and sit behind a microphone and say, okay, this is what I think. I think this year's quarterback class, just my early dealings with some of those people, it may be a little bit deeper than how it's being portrayed. But that, again, is will the market next week increase with quarterback depth? And we'll talk about it on the show, obviously, because this has got to be a year where they do something. It's got to be a year. It's like bringing up the Jay Cutler stuff with Peter earlier this week. You got to turn over every last rock. All right, ASU and U of A, I've got some thoughts on that front, and then we'll have Goody at the movie. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. So tonight, there's a bunch of basketball going on. Of course, today's a trade deadline. Suns have not done anything yet. As we said off the top, Toronto, first-round pick, Tyson Chandler, P.J. Tucker. Go get another pick. Knock yourself out. It's going to give us flexibility. I can already call that one. This will give us more flexibility as we continue to add assets, because I've heard that quote for, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever the drought's been. Lakers are trying to get Paul George. If Minnesota trades Ricky Rubio for Derrick Rose today, so Minnesota's close. I think if you look at Minnesota's roster, it's kind of like where the Suns are with some nice parts, but they have better parts. Karl-Anthony Towns is, they've got better parts up in Minnesota. You add a veteran point guard, but Derrick Rose, I don't trust Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose trying to stay healthy on the floor. They trade Derrick Rose for Ricky Rubio. Is Minnesota better than the Suns? Yes. Well, every team in the West is better than the Suns. Just look at the wins and losses. Dallas today, getting Nerlens Noel. Now, Nerlens Noel, former first-round pick, can't stay healthy. I don't know if this helps Dallas out, if this is Cuban Tankapalooza. I don't know that. But on the surface, is Dallas, well, yes, of course, because they have a better record than the Suns. So they're better than the Suns. So you look at the teams in the Western Conference, top to bottom, and they're all trying to do something, anything today. Paul George's name has been mentioned to Oklahoma City today. So if Oklahoma City gets better, well, they're already miles ahead of where we are here in Phoenix. It's a really interesting day. But tonight you have Arizona State and you have U of A. Here's the thing on U of A first. Pretty easy to say this could be a trap game, that they're looking ahead. I think they stomp USC tonight. I don't think there's going to be any trap game at all. I think they just walk in and they stomp them. U of A, to me, while I'm not a fan of where they are right now, they're better than they were a couple weeks ago. They're going through this transformational stage of trying to work a player back in Trier, marketing and trying to figure out his role, everybody trying to get enough touches, and selfishness being put off to the side. It's just basketball. You can't put five guys out on the floor and expect it to all work. You're going to go through some highs and lows. I think they've struggled here recently, but I've seen better flashes out of them. I expect them to crush USC tonight. So then you have ASU, and they're hosting UCLA tonight. Now, Bobby Hurley has gotten a lot out of very little, in my opinion, this season. He's done a very good job and is building this program, I think, in a positive way. I feel like what Bobby has done without much at all size. They lost to Washington State twice, which is horrible and deplorable until you look at their roster and you look at who's sitting on the bench over at ASU. They have no size, and Wazoo has a couple of big kids they can roll out there. So it was a bad loss. Okay, it was a bad loss at Pullman. Should not lose twice to Washington State. They're not built to go up against big physical teams. UCLA is going to roll them tonight. I think ASU will play them tight for the usual 30, 35 minutes. And then Lonzo will do his thing and pull them away. The story is Lonzo Ball in town tonight. I am hoping that this is not Lonzo Ball's only appearance in a facility in Arizona in the year 2017. In fact, I'm hoping, he'll be there, of course, down in Tucson on Saturday, but I'm hoping that he makes numerous appearances wearing a different jersey that has purple and orange in it come next October and next November. You want to take the franchise off the grid and off the radar in a hurry? Yeah, there's one player in this draft that can do that. Would we agree on that, Eric? There's one guy in this year's draft they can catapult because there's so much buzz around this kid. There's nobody else out there that you can look at and say.
I would think so. Yeah, most likely. He's the one.
He's the one.
And when you said that, my immediate thought was, wow, what if Earl Watson just turns next year's Phoenix Suns into Loyola Marymount, where it's just like four guards and T.J. Warren, and they're just trying to run teams. Would that work in the NBA with Lonzo Ball? It doesn't matter what position. You could put Ball and Bled and Booker and whoever else, any other guards you want out there, and maybe one like 6'8 guy, and just see if you could just run teams off the floor.
Well, yeah.
It'd be fun to watch. I don't think it'd work, but.
Here's my thing on it. If they were to go out and tank correctly, and if they were to get Lonzo Ball here, all of a sudden, Cardinal season, okay, we're looking forward to it. It's fine. It's the NFL. There's an aging quarterback, the goodbye tour for Fitz. Oh, that's all fine. Baseball team, probably not going to be in the race by July 15th.
Probably not.
Probably this year going to dump Greinke's deal. If they're up against it, have to consider trading Goldschmidt. Okay. The Coyotes, I don't know if Shane's going to be back. But
I would doubt it, but.
But if you look at where they are, they're doing some nice things with some kids, but they're not going to make the playoffs. All of a sudden, the Suns go from a joke, which they've been, to the line for season tickets, the TV ratings, which, by the way, I see, and they're not there.
I don't know if there'd be a line for season tickets drafted Lonzo
Ball. Are you kidding me?
I don't know about
Seriously?
That.
Seriously? Oh, I totally disagree with that one.
Brad, we live in Phoenix, Arizona.
18 to 34-year-olds that have watched
him. It is the most apathetic sports market in the country.
When you have a dad,
don't go.
When you have a dad who screams from the top of mountains, he's better than Steph Curry, that's only going to grow in the next 4 months. The curiosity factor.
Maybe.
The dad is building a market for him, right? What the league wants is for him to end up with the Lakers. That's what the league
wants. Of course.
Wants.
Of course.
League wants LA to be relevant, stay relevant. You know, if you're sitting there today and you're the Clippers, okay, and I know we got to get to a break with Bill. If you're the Clippers today and you don't do anything, again, you're a second round elimination team and Doc probably gets fired. And is that, and all of a sudden the Lakers have a chance to grab that market back. It all works together, but tonight's going to be fun. And it's a good chance to look at Bobby Hurley and say, look, you've got UCLA tonight, USC Saturday, and U of A next week. Win two of those three. Everybody's expecting you to beat USC at home. Win two of those three, and it's big progress.
It's going to be really hard, though, for the Suns to get that number one pick because they have nine more wins than the Nets.
And the Nets don't have the one. Boston has the one.
Oh.
From the Kevin Garnett deal. Yeah, I mean, New Jersey, Brooklyn's just done. They're just done. All right.
The Suns are in the two, though.
Let's take a break. Well, for now. Goody at the Movies is next with the Oscars. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, even though it's NBA trade deadline day, something could happen. You know what's going on. It's time for Goody at the Movies. Get you ready for the weekend. The Oscars is on Sunday night. Bill Goodykunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. He is with us. I have seen, it's been a rough year for me. I just haven't been to as many movies as I usually get to. I have seen La La Land and I have seen Manchester by the Sea in the Best Picture nominee category. If I could see one or two before Sunday, what would you recommend? Or have I already seen the winner, in your opinion?
In my opinion, you've seen the winner. I think La La Land is going to win big. And I think it should. A lot of people don't. But Why wouldn't it?
Why shouldn't it win big?
There's the predictable backlash. You know, they're not good singers, they're not good dancers, which to me was part of the point. I mean, they're regular people, you know, just so in love and so enthralled that they do this. So that doesn't hold water with me. There's the thing that Ryan Gosling's character is supposed to be this white savior of a traditionally black art form, and he's the only guy that can do it. That didn't wash with me because, to me, he was never supposed to be the most likable character, you know?
Right.
I mean, he's kind of selfish. But it happens every year. I mean, you know, they're, whatever the front runner is, there's a backlash. But the two that you need to see, and frankly, I'm surprised you haven't, yeah, you got to see Moonlight and you got to see Hell or High Water. Yeah, I mean, you got to. Even doesn't have anything to do with the Oscars. They're just great movies.
Well, I've been busy. This work stuff. The running a company gets in the way occasionally. Being a dad gets in the way occasionally. So Hell or High Water and Moonlight. So I don't need to try to go cram Fences or Arrival or. Because, like, Manchester by the Sea was fine, but, gosh, it was so depressing. Just, this is not Best Picture material.
I would skip one. Go in this order. See Moonlight, see Hell or High Water, but you can switch those, either of those. But do see both. It doesn't really matter which order.
All right.
Then see Arrival. I really like Arrival, and I'm surprised, really surprised, that Amy Adams did not get a nomination.
All right.
After that, I mean, they're all still, there's some still really good movies, but I think there's a bit of a drop off after that. But there's still some, you know, but you got to see those. You got to.
All right. You're pushing me here. I'll do it. Okay. Actor in a leading role. So I've seen Casey Affleck and I've seen Ryan Gosling. Casey Affleck, it was fine. It was just depressing as all get out. Ryan Gosling was fine. I kind of liked his character. I didn't think that there's anything that I didn't like about him. So is Denzel not a factor here, or is Denzel got a chance on this one?
Denzel might win. There's two things going on here. One is everybody loves Denzel, and how can you not love Denzel? And,
right.
And he's great. He directed himself in a role that he won a Tony for. It's an important movie, you know, that sort of thing. Casey Affleck was hands down the leader in the clubhouse, right? I mean, it was, you know, supposed to be a lock. What happened with Casey Affleck is on the set of that nutty movie that he made with Joaquin Phoenix, that was like this fake documentary, he was charged with sexual harassment, and he settled out of court. But in the case of Birth of a Nation, where the black filmmaker had actually been charged with rape, and that sort of derailed that film, this has come up with him. And so there's been some backlash. The sort of thinking is it's too little too late. I mean, it's not really going to – he's still going to win. But if he doesn't, it's going to be Denzel.
All right. Actress in a leading role. In this one, you've got Meryl Streep sitting there as a wild card, because whenever Meryl Streep is there, she wins. But Emma Stone to me. And then Natalie Portman's role in Jackie, I heard, was terrific. Where are you at on actress in a leading role?
Emma Stone. Everybody loves her. And, you know, hey, and believe me, I say this with trepidation because it will spawn 10,000 stories about Emma Stone grew up in Scottsdale. I mean, as if we haven't done enough of those. But she's actually, I know her a little bit by now, and she's very friendly and very fun, and everybody in Hollywood loves her. And she too is a pretty, not quite a sure thing, but she's probably, you know, the person who will give her the biggest run for the money and is sort of considered the dark horse is Isabelle Huppert. For Elle, because she was in two movies this year that were wildly different, and she was great in both of them. And you're not supposed to take all that into consideration. You're just supposed to think about the one that she's nominated for. But you can't. I mean, you know, you can't help but do that. And she was great in both of them. But I just think it's going to be La La Land's year. I mean, there are some things it may not win. If it starts winning stuff like best screenplay and things like that, then, you know, look out. Then you're like on Titanic territory. But I do think that Emma Stone will win.
All right. Actor, then. So actor in a supporting role, actress in a supporting role. I don't have much time to go through either one of these. Either one of these categories do much for you.
They're both locks. The best supporting actor will be Ali, and I can't say his last name, who is in Moonlight. Terrific. And a real supporting role, too. I mean, he's some of these things, like they get the lead actor and they kind of stick him in the supporting role. He was actually in only about a third of the movie, but he's fantastic, and he'll win. And Viola Davis is a dead pipe lock for best supporting actress for Fences. I mean, that one, bet your house on that one. I mean, nobody's going to. There's some. Michelle Williams is really good, as you saw in Manchester by the Sea. And again, that was more of a true supporting role. But Viola Davis, who also won a Tony, by the way, for this role, she's fantastic. She's going to win. That's just how it is.
Okay, usually there's Oscar parties that I get asked to go to. This year I have not been asked to any. Again, I'm too busy, or people just don't like me. You know, they just don't like me. They don't want me around, which is fine. I'll sit and be an ogre on the couch. You, every year, you are up against Deadline every year, which is your biggest thing. I know that. Where are you going to be watching the Oscars, and how do you consume it?
I will be watching the Oscars on the couch, doubtless with my kids, with the laptop in my lap, making it a real laptop for that day, and doing this back and forth passive aggressive thing where I yell at the TV, I cheer, I boo, and then when my kids do the same thing, I turn to them and I'm like, be quiet, I'm on Deadline.
Yeah.
So it'll kind of work that way, I would imagine. It's an impossible deadline. Our deadlines are usually before the show actually ends. So, and what the Oscars do, and all shows do this to some extent, but the Oscars to more than any other, it drives me nuts, not just because I'm on Deadline, but also as a show. is they save the biggest four or five awards for like the last 10 minutes.
Yep.
And the show lasts 3.5 hours. And I mean, if you spread them out, I mean, they'll open the show with either best supporting actor or best supporting actress. And sometimes, you know, that can be kind of an upset. I don't think it will be this year, but sometimes it is. And then that kind of gets the show off to, whoa, I wonder what this is going to be like. And then it drags. And then at the very end, how many times have you seen Clint Eastwood or Tom Hanks or somebody come out there and say, well, we don't have time for a bunch of things. I'm just going to read the, you know, I'm going to read the nominees.
Yep. Every year.
It's insane. Yeah. I know. It collapses on itself.
I don't have time to do Get Out because you and I ran long here, but is it worth seeing?
But it's good. See it.
Okay, we'll talk about it next week, all right?
Okay, it's really good.
All right. I'll let you go off that. There's good at the movies. Good talking to Bill. Chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Appreciate his insight on that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There is plenty of content up on our website, Pro College High School, High School College Pro. Things that we see around the state of Arizona, a little bit different. Off the side, we have our TV show that airs 14 times a week on Fox Sports Arizona. Appreciate our partnership with them. We appreciate our partnership with AZ Central. Those of you watching on AZ Central Sports, thanks for being with us. Our show airs every day, 10 a.m., and it repeats for the next 24 hours. The same on our website, sports360az.com. Eric Sorensen, our Senior Executive Vice President of Everything. Jared Nielsen, our Chairman of the Board. Thanks for being with us.